Hi, Casey.
Hi, Danielle.
I feel like it's been forever. I mean, we didn't have a show last week, and then the week before we had our live show. So, but I've been in Florida and back.
Oh, belly of the beast.
Belly of the beast.
And I'm going to Florida next week. We both have family in Florida.
We sure do. And it's nice that we can both.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I will say, you know, I hadn't been there in over a year and a half. And it seemed as if they, like a pandemic never touched its shores. I'm not saying it didn't. I'm just saying.
Pandemic never touched the hem of its garment.
No. And just they were proceeding.
Ooh, my Aunt Sharon, she didn't stop her TJ Maxx trips for love of money.
No. I went
God
into
bless her.
A lovely like restaurant called, I think it was called like Tom Sawyer's or something. Just not a mask.
Bonefish Grill.
Yeah. Just not a mask to be found. And again, we don't
well, I think we don't, the masks.
Yes. Yeah. I am still masking. In fact, when I was in Florida, this
Oh, love... I've let go. Oh, my God.
I have not. Because you know me. Yeah. And, but I went into, I was in Florida and I went to this store and there was this lovely woman, very South Florida with like a crispy blonde hair. And, you know, like that character in Something About Mary, just like tanned, crisp, crisp. Every part of her was crisp and just baked, sunbaked. And she said, I went into the store to look and she goes, so why are you wearing a mask? It's like, what? Like just held me right to it. And I was like, well, I'm from California. So like the mask mandates or not. I don't know. I'm crazy.
Shouldn't have gotten into Holly Weird.
I know.
Whenever I go to Florida, my uncle picks me up and he goes, welcome to America.
No, but it was really good to see my family and the beach and everybody was really, really nice. How have you been?
I'm good. You know, I'm going to Pensacola, Florida, greatest beaches possibly in the world.
Home of the Blue Angels.
Home of the Blue Angels. Home of my mom's grave, you know. It's a town. Well, town is a liberal term, Danielle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been there many times.
It's outskirts of Pensacola, there is a hamlet, is even a stretch. And my mom and my entire family are buried outside a very darling Baptist church.
Okay.
In a very small field. I think, as you know, I've purchased my grave already.
Yes.
I've been told. Haven't sprung for my kids yet.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is not anyone yet. in your family, not, you know, your blood family, but the family you've made for yourself, are they planning to be with you?
You know, they're on the to-do list, on the bucket list to get them with me, but, you know, not this juncture. But my father, I think I may have told you this upsetting thing, which is that he has a grave, you know, next to my mom's, and it just says Paul Wilson, you know, his birthday, and then it just says dash, kind of like question mark, like we'll chisel that in later.
TBD.
Yeah, and he's always like, weird to see that when we go. And then last time we went, he goes, I got a problem. He goes, I don't know where I'm going to be buried because, you know, he's remarried, and he goes, maybe I'll split myself up. Who gets the lower half? So one of their skeletons is going to be fucking him in the great beyond and like wanting his skeleton dick?
Well, I think that goes away.
Well, I don't know. Well, speaking of, so I told my six-year-old, like, he's so full of ennui and existential angst and he's very melancholic.
Yes.
Old soul.
He truly is. But also such joy. Like, he's
He's joyful too. Like, the lease is up on our car and I was like, hey, you know, we're giving the car back. Thinking that was just a comment.
Yeah.
Like, say your goodbyes, you know, as you will. To a leased car. And he goes, no. Cried for 25 minutes
no.
in the car. I did get a video that I only got, not to embarrass him. He didn't know I was taking it, you know, because he was so upset.
Yeah.
But I did get it for just like when he's older, because I went through every possible way of comforting. I'm like, I cried when I gave up my mom's car. We've taken so many great trips in this car. And then people are what's important. You know, we went through everything.
Yeah.
And he is holding, clutching the sides of the doors.
Okay.
Holding on, going, you didn't tell me. And then I go, now I'm like, it's been 25 minutes. And I'm like, am I taking him to a child psychologist? You know, what's happening? And God love him. He just very deep feeling. And then he goes, I said, look, what if we put on our favorite song that we listen to, you know, on the way to school every morning, pep us up a little, you know, take music can transmute
emotions. Yes, it can.
And we like to listen to Lizzo's Good as Hell.
Oh, great song. Sydney loves it.
Love it. So I blasted thinking like, we're going to rise above him. It's like, I rip my hair back, shake my nails. And so it's like, baby, how are you feeling? Feeling good as hell. And he's like, hysterically sobbing over good as hell.
That is a tragic song to cry to. Like,
Danielle, my shoulders were shaking, tears rolling down my face. My girlfriend was driving. We were crying, laughing. But he didn't see any of this. I wasn't making fun of him.
No, of course.
It was a tough juxtaposition you don't often see.
Oh, it's sometimes so hard not to laugh when Sydney is crying. Like, yes. It really is, because it's so deep. They're so deeply affected, yes, that it almost feels like a joke. Like,
yes.
But Sydney, on the other hand, will give, she's a little more like me. Well, we'll give anything up. We have no attachments. We could
but
just.
That's so nice.
Well, no, because then it's like, are we serial killers? Like, we just, like, we moved recently, and this is the second time we've moved, but the other one was when Sydney was like two, so she has no memory of it. So this one is like a big move, you know, yeah. So much of her memories are in this house, and she was like, I'll miss that house. And I was like, well, do you want to come say goodbye to it? We're going to go. And she was like, nah.
She's like, good. But I think that's nice. She's unencumbered.
I mean, she did.
When I was over there, I went up in her room with her, and she walked me through every pair of earrings she has. And she has an extensive
quite a collection.
Stud collection, unicorns, you know, yes, popsicles and pandas and French fries and
yes,
40 pairs. We went, yes, through each enamel one, and I was in heaven. I've never been in heaven. She's like, I like this one. This one I don't like as much. And then she's like, my problem is, you know, I just don't remember to change them out. And I'm like, well, that's a problem. You know? And we've all been there. It's like,
very practical.
Here we have this bounty.
Yes.
She's so fucking cute. So all to say, I do think she's attached to that earring collection.
Okay. Well, that we will bring with us in a fire.
Yes. Grab it. I have boys, and I just like, I don't like to be tackled. I do feel some of my skill set of like looking through earrings as being, you know, squandered. I can only pray they're homosexuals.
Yes. And I hope that they are for you, or
you
say
know
again,
I'm
for theirs.
Doing but everything I can.
I know. I mean, look, the jury's out. We shall see. We shall see.
Well, the last thing I'll say, Danielle, very briefly about we're going to see my mom's grave is like, you know, I don't know if like, I didn't quite realize the topic you're introducing by saying like, we're going to go see my mom's grave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to abandon the other story in which Max doesn't understand a grave and asks me if we're going to dig up my mom's skeleton and hug her.
No!
Yeah, he's like, so we're digging her up. We're going to hug her. Because I was like, we're going to go see her grave. And he's like, yeah, we'll grab her. And I'm like, you know, we're not going to dig her up. And he's like, why? He was acting like I was being lazy. He's like, you're not going to dig up her skull and hug her?
Then why are we even here?
Why are we fucking doing this? You yeah. know, at a certain point. He goes, we can drape her skeleton around us for a hug. I go, God, you know, I would love to.
You know what, Casey? Can I say something?
Please.
That's not a bad idea. Not
maybe there's something to it.
But what I'm saying is, why are we not saving the bones of our loved ones? Mm. Because, you know, in the sense that maybe it's so dark, but like I do, and I mean this with all sincerity.
I can see in your eyes you do.
I would like to get a hug from someone I miss and love, and even holding on to their bones feels like that. Is that crazy? Am I being so dark and disgusting?
Well, you know, I mean, we have ashes, but to me, that's always like, it's not that it's hard to connect with. And it's so beautiful that I think you can sprinkle ashes, although I don't want to be cremated because I just am convinced I'm not going to be fully dead. And I'd like someone to check before they throw me in that incinerator.
I want to be cremated. I don't like the thought.
So you want others' bones lingering around your house.
I want other bones lingering. Well,
for hugs.
If someone's going to use me for hugs, you can keep my bones.
Okay.
But if
what
not.
What about like one bone? Your funny bone. I'll take your funny bone.
No, I'm only to be used for hugs.
Matt will take your pubis.
He'll take that pubis, stick some right in that pubis. There's a big old hole.
Slick it up.
Put on that Amazon lingerie and have a go.
He'll put your skeleton in a sex swing. Get to fucking.
Get to stepping.
Maybe you'll be happy that I do think the pubes will have released themselves from this mortal plane.
They released themselves a while ago. They are no longer with us.
Oh.
Oh, it's such a dark combo. But you know, I'm with Max. It's interesting.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I mean, all of this we are confronting, you know, death and to confront death, this is a topic that I think is going to come up in the podcast today.
Yeah, it sure is, because we've had a death
in our
the Bravo family, the Bravo universe. And it, I would say one of the main players.
Undeniably so, Danielle. There was a death of a bird.
Sorry.
Why are you laughing? You know, people have made, you know, comparisons to my fish, which you also laughed, and I took it, but not anymore.
Look, it's hard.
A bird has fallen under, quote, mysterious circumstances.
Mysterious. Now, that's the toughest part for me, because when we found out about Spongy, all right.
It was clear I speared him.
It was clear that you speared him and you admitted to your murder.
Right. And those are pretty mysterious circumstances.
They, well, the mystery being why you put a spear in.
Why Amazon sold grass that speared him.
That, yeah. Okay. Lots of mysteries.
It's a secondhand murder.
Secondhand. But I will say this, at least you admitted to what it was. Yeah. To just leave us with mysterious experiences was...
This is now, for anyone, you know, this is Monique's bird,
mm-hmm.
T'Challa. T'Challa, all right, rest in peace.
T'Challa Samuels, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Been with us 2 years, always on Monique's shoulder. She's very upset to be making coffee without...
Peas and a toilet. Let's not forget. This bird was smart. And many people wrote me that this type of bird lives 30 to 40 years.
Yeah. Now, what are those circumstances, Danielle? Maybe we wait for our guest.
Okay.
You know, he came on early, Danielle, because he had to when he heard the phrase mysterious circumstances surrounding T'Challa. But let's just back up and introduce our illustrious guest.
Journalist.
Now, a lot of times we've said we're journalists, and that's not true.
It's not. And I know people, we seem like it. We seem studied and...
learned.
Yes. And we seem important, and we seem... What are journalists called when they don't take a side? Impartial.
Impartial. Yeah. And that's what's really, you know, I can't believe some of our work hasn't been nominated for whatever journalist awards there are, but.
The Journeys? Is it the Journey?
I'm the Brian Williams. I think I've said this before, but like, I think I have lived these housewives experiences. And sometimes I've like placed myself in these scenes of crimes. But you, Danielle, I've always said is that you're the Christiane Amanpour.
Yes. In that.
And Diane Sawyer.
Yes. All the women of the journalist business. I think I follow in their footsteps.
Yeah, I've got like an Elizabeth Vargas, Kathy Lee Gifford kind of
Gail King
style.
Gail King. I mean, her interview with R. Kelly was something of for the ages.
Making Oprah look twice.
Yeah,
you know?
Making her say,
yeah, wondering if she should get back in the game.
Yeah, not just my best friend, but maybe my best competitor. Very interesting.
Very interesting, Danielle. Okay. We have a journalist. Now, I have wanted to get this gentleman on our show. He formerly has been doing the I'll say the word illustrious again, vulture recaps of Housewives. So again, we're with a historian here. Mm-hmm. He is a journalist and now is a staff writer. And he wrote for New York Magazine. Now he is a staff writer at my favorite magazine. And again, I'll plug that I wrote an article about Housewives for them, Vanity Fair. It's truly the greatest magazine.
It is.
It's the only magazine that needs still be with us.
I mean, it's the one I get every time I'm at the airport. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Because it's like, it's not, a People magazine is enough. I want a big, serious article. I want
my true crunch. I want my celebs.
I want
what's in my bag. I want my Proust questionnaire.
Yes.
I want it all.
Me too. And I want to know like their lifestyle, like that circle that says like the soaps they use in their house. But I also want like an in-depth article on something serious that happened, you know, in the history of film.
A murder in the Hamptons.
Yes, I want it all. And that is what Vanity Fair is perfect for. I mean, I've been getting it since the first Hollywood issue some 20-odd years back.
That's right. Please welcome Housewives historian Chris Murphy.
Wow, this is truly a dream come true. I gotta say, you guys deserve a Peabody just for that introduction.
Wow. Well, and we didn't even say one of your biggest credits. We didn't even credit you because this is huge, which you were also featured as a reporter in a very important documentary that we've all seen recently called The Housewife and the Hustler.
Yeah, it was really, that's sort of the pinnacle of my career. I peaked. I'll never.
Oh. You're fucking downhill with us.
getting to share the screen with Danielle Staub and Dana Pam. You can't, you don't get better than that. I'm sorry. I know you guys wouldn't understand. That's just sort of.
We would not understand. We don't pretend to understand. You are the star of Hulu's documentary, which captured our minds and hearts and souls. It was a devastating documentary that started off like quirky and fun and then went so dark. And you were there. How did you get involved? What's been the response? Tell us everything.
So crazy. And it did come from, so yeah, I'm like a writer. I'm a comedian. I'm like a journalist, you know, all these different things that I randomly, you know, I started working at Vanity Fair and I was like, you know what? My whole thing, highbrow, lowbrow. We're going to do the housewives. I'm going to bring the housewives to Vanity Fair because I do feel like that's where they belong. I feel like that's where they'd like to be. I feel like that's where they should be. Yes. So I wrote like an article about, lest we forget, Erica Jane is not the only housewife that's in legal trouble right now.
Say what?
Our dear friend Jen Shah and all of her legal issues and sort of all of her problems with, you know, fraud and national telemarketing scams. Mm-hmm. And then they just reached out and they were like, okay, if you know about this alleged, and again, journalist, so you got to say alleged. We don't want to get sued. I don't want anyone to get sued here.
Casey and I keep forgetting that.
No one listens to this, Chris, but go on.
Well, I'll say alleged just on all of our behalf. Alleged crimes, they reached out and they were like, do you want to do this like little doc about Erica Jane? And I was like, Erica Jane isn't even in my top like 8 favorite housewives. I'll say it. She's like,
wow.
Yeah, she's like very middle of the pack for me. And we'll get into it.
Okay.
But
okay.
I was like, of course I will lend my, you know, my roving reporter skills and
your journalistic integrity.
Integrity and, you know, all that I have to offer for this piece, but I didn't know how dark it was gonna get.
No, I didn't either. We all thought it we were in for this fun, sort of like trashy, flashy, and then.
But that, you know what? I do feel they should have told you, but I will also say you struck a very good tone despite not knowing that. I'm impressed.
Thank you. I really just showed up to set, no hair and makeup, you know, wrinkled shirt, and just brought my best self. How dare. You know what? In this town.
How very fucking dare. What is this, sister wives?
Yeah, I know, right? You think of the housewives, you think there's going to be a budget, but no.
They didn't have a little steamer?
not even a little steamer. I was like, oh God, I looked a mess, but that's okay. I showed up and everybody was really lovely and it was really great. And they're like, yeah, like we just want to get your, you know, take on Erica and Tom and were you surprised and whatnot. And like, yeah, we might like interview some of the victims. Like, we'll see, who knows. And then it's like, you watch the documentary and it's like, boom, orphans and widows and victims of explosions. And you're like,
yes,
absolutely. Not Tom Girardi and Erica Jane.
And you're saying and Erica Jane.
And I am saying, and I'm going to go, I mean, if we're here, we might as well say,
Again, this is no record you're going on. No one listens to this. We have been quoted in the Daily Mail one time for some false information we reported about Dorit and PK's divorce. That's it.
And also, I believe we were in page 6 for other false information that we claimed.
So. That's correct. So speak freely. So speak your truth, please.
I will say, and I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. I honestly do. I'm, for every fiber of my being wants to believe Erica Jane and wants to believe this honestly incredible Oscar award winning performance she's giving this season.
Ooh.
She is acting for the gods. She is
giving
me moments. She's giving me beats. I want to believe her, but it's just the math. The math isn't mathing. The pieces aren't adding up.
How so? Because why isn't she? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here because
No, please. I welcome.
We welcome a discourse.
I love to discuss. I love to debate.
This is hardball, guys. This is hardball.
Yeah, that's right.
But why is she not? Because, you know, like in the Bernie Madoff of it all, just the wife who was like, he's a rich guy. I've always known him to be this rich guy. I said, I want to be a rock star. He said, where do I sign the checks? And I just like, why? I'm not saying that's okay. I'm saying, but why is the math not mathing with that?
I mean, the timing via the timeline is a little tricky with the divorce. And then like, they just like gave Erica $20 million. Like Girardi Keys, his
that
law
is.
Firm, just funneled that money. And now, did you see what happened today? Another magazine, People Magazine. We got to talk about it. They're coming for her glam squad. They're coming for all of her bags and her clothes. They can get their $11 million from Erica Jane.
They're coming for that little half bath where she shoved her shoes in some IKEA closets. And that was not California closets.
No.
Absolutely not California closets.
And this is, to me, where the guilt is. Because if I would just say, like, if this were me, what would I do? If I just found out my husband were doing this, I would fucking move to the valley, toot sweet.
I'd sell every fuck. I would say everything. Take everything.
I would say take everything.
Every shoe.
You keep I'll live Sydney's in this. Earrings
yes.
and that's it.
And then I go. And so that's where it gets a little tricky for me and where I'm like, Erica, just like the money, no matter how you got it, this is fucking blood money, man.
No,
and you
is.
Gotta fucking give it back. Give it all.
You
give it
to
these poor people.
Where I fault her big time is like, okay, even giving full benefit of the doubt, although I have come over to the side that I think she knew something was very wrong. I think the money was funneled. Where I get fucking pissed off as we're watching is this bullshit notion of like, I'm actually playing this role of this like cool customer who's been victimized
yes.
by a mean older man. And I walked out and I didn't tell him and all I took was a couch. And I'm finally feeling free at dinner parties to not be put upon. Fuck you. She knows now. She fucking knows now.
And she knew the minute he had the divorce. And also because this is and here's the other thing that I'm like, fuck you. You knew what you were getting into. And I don't care if you've grown and changed. You didn't leave him because there was a meal ticket. And here's the other thing. He wasn't such a bad husband to you. You asked him to fucking make you a rock star with no talent.
And he did. And
no
he literally
work.
Did that.
And you, he gave you all the money from these people, whether you knew or not. So he helped you make your dream. None of this other shit would have happened if he hadn't done.
And the thing she's citing as like his problems, it's like, it's just, no.
The editing team is working overtime to make Tom look like this awful husband. To
they have one line to use.
The one line was
they
like,
keep using that line.
I'm like, I get it. Okay, he told her to be quiet one time. Like, I don't, that's
do
not.
Do you know
like,
how many times I've said that to my husband if they have that
in public? Yes.
Like this week.
Okay, so Chris, so you believe fully. When do you think she found out? And you think now filming it, she knows. Why isn't she denouncing him being like a public statement? Like, I did not know. Can she not say that? Even just as a defense.
I honestly think that she found out in between the trip to Tahoe and like when the divorce came out. Like I found like because they were fine. She was talking about how nice Tom was. And there was like she was like, we're good. We're, you know, he's cute. He's great. He's old. Like he's great. And then like 1 week later, like one episode later, she was like, we're getting divorced. And he was actually evil to me for 30 years. And it's like, OK,
but when do you think the $20 million was transferred then?
I think it had to happen in that little in like some he basically was like, look, the meal ticket is over. We had a good run. It's the jig is up. The jig is up.
And he's like, say what you want. Don't say anything truly explosive about me. Just that I was like a little condescending. Is that what you think?
Just that I was a little condescending. And let's split and let's separate to save yourself. Because I honestly do think. And I think, again, let me go on record and be like, I think he's an evil, terrible man for what he did to all those people. But I do feel like he was probably a pretty good husband to Erica. And he kind of did create her whole career and her whole lifestyle. So I think he was like, look, like, save yourself.
Or is it that you'll then give me some of that money down the line?
And then maybe you know, once this all blows over, because they thought it was going to blow over.
That's why I'm so, because she's not a dummy. So to be like, we just found out this, I'm going to transfer $20 million to you. No one's going to find out. There's a fucking paper trail.
There's
like
a paper
I don't.
Trail.
But in the grand scheme of what we thought he had, is that a lot if he was divorcing Erica? And where do we fall on? What was her motive for putting out that Instagram about the other judge? Is she trying to spin this like Tom was a monster to me too?
Yeah, I think she wants to. She's trying to play the world's smallest violin here and be like, yeah. I'm also a victim of Tom's machinations and his manipulations and his wickedness.
There's a difference between cheating and stealing money from orphans and children and people that have had their lives ruined and endangered and need health support for the rest of their fucking lives. And so we and this that cheating thing, we don't give a fuck about.
We don't give a fuck. Even if it's true, even if every single thing that she said was true about Tom and their relationship, who cares? Give it all back. Give it all away. Start from nothing. Make yourself. She's like, because guess what? She's got the platform. She has the followers. Like, she can't give that up. So it's like, she could literally give away all of her earthly possessions and start from scratch.
Keep your book
that Brian Moylan wrote. Keep that book.
God bless him.
God bless.
I just feel like it's a really bad fucking look for her after that came out to now see the performance she's giving. It's really turning my stomach.
It's
because it is a performance.
It's a performance and it's a committed performance. I'm like watching it and I'm like, God, I cannot believe I didn't see her on Broadway in Chicago. That would have been so good. Oh, like she would have been so good. If she delivers an ounce of the performance that she is serving, and she is so committed to this charade that she is selling.
Her with Kathy Hilton and Crystal at that breakfast table at 10:45 after Kathy had rolled out of bed.
Wearing the same clothes as the drapes, the pajamas that match the drapes.
Love it, love it, love it. And Kathy's like, well, here's to you. Like, I have to raise my glass and tip my hat. And I just love that performance was honestly chilling, where she was like, I'm relieved. I'm doing well. Like the emotionless kind of, but also wanting people to feel sorry for her and feel that she's this stoic hero.
Well, the question is, do you think, and this is the question that I posed to both of you, do you think she believes that she did nothing wrong? Because that's the question. That's where we get into like, okay, does she believe the performance she's giving?
If she believes she did nothing wrong, why doesn't she give it back? It's not hers to have.
Because she thinks I did nothing wrong. I don't owe my possessions being stripped from me.
They're mine.
But your possessions.
And I was a victim of Tom as well.
But okay, you were a victim of Tom, but this money is not yours. The money that was spent on all this shit.
She's paying the piper, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is true.
I've turned.
And I've historically liked Erica. I was not obsessive Erica fan. I thought she was a little cold. I was ready to, you know, send her out to pasture last season. She wasn't giving enough.
Yes,
she was 1 foot on Broadway, 1 foot on the show. I want you to be fully committed. If you're here, I want you to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't need Roxy Hart can wait, sweetie.
She can wait. Do it over the summer.
That's right. Do it like Nene did when she played Mama Morton.
Candy too. Candy never lets her other
now
businesses.
Candy took that job I didn't love when she was.
When she took the shy. She
yeah,
did, I did not love
the shy.
Didn't love that she took the shy during
Sex
the show.
Sex scenes or no, we don't have time.
I love that she took the shy. I liked it a lot. No.
Don't have time.
Wish
but
she
Candy
were
works
here.
Overtime. Talk about housewife and hustle.
I mean, she's both housewife and hustle.
She is both. So here's the one thing I kept saying to people in the Bravo world. I kept saying what I'm worried about. This is before I saw Housewife and Housewife, and we knew how dark it was. I'm like, I'm afraid Erica's not going to give us everything. It's not going to. But here's what she's actually giving us by not giving us. She's indicting herself. And everyone comes saying, no, just wait. But she's actually giving us such a dark. It's fucking dark as hell this week. It really turned my stomach.
Really is dark, but it is honestly, and I will say, we're in like, I think a sweet spot of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where we're really, it's firing on all cylinders.
Oh,
we've got
is.
This undercurrent of darkness. We've got an absolutely super, absolutely inane fight, which
yes.
I am obsessed with.
Okay, now what's your take on that? Because I've had a lot of people write me, and I'm going to do the Andy Cohen style of journalism right now, which I love and adore, which is like, I'm just reporting what I've seen people tell me, you know, because a lot of times I'm taking stands and then I'm hearing about it from you guys. Like, let me just throw out what the people are saying. I got a very earnest letter, DM, from someone who was just like, I love you guys, but I have to say, I'm absolutely disturbed that you're not coming down harder on Crystal. They have edited this to make it look as though Crystal was some like Thomasina, you know, creepy Peter.
Kathy said that. And we do have to talk about how Kathy started that whole fight. And Kathy gets away with it because Kathy is Kathy Hilton.
Kathy in her little freshly misted face.
When she goes,
Kathy's face looks so fucking good. Oh, doesn't she look
Dewey,
good as hell?
Guys,
Dewey.
When she comes and she goes,
good as hell.
When she comes to Kyle's house and she won't let anybody hug her and she's just looking through her purse and she's like, what? She missed herself. She goes, I'm dry.
Hi, Mo.
I'm dry.
My purse. Where's my purse?
Mo seems to not love Lil Cap.
Well, isn't there a fight between Mo and Kathy's husband?
Well, all I watch on the screen, whenever I just watch, all I watch is just my eyes dart between Mo and Kath and see what's going on. And where's Rick and why is Rick not coming around?
Because there's something there.
Around? That's not something. I will say back to Crystal.
Please,
I don't think you've been to. I was just texting with Z-Way, friend of the pod, about this. Crystal is an unemotional person. Crystal's kind of a bitch, and that's okay.
I love that about her.
I think it's fantastic.
I think, and I've heard through some channels, since we both have children the same age in Los Angeles, that she is actually much warmer than she is playing on the show. Just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. I Go on.
I believe that, and I believe that
that's not what we're seeing, though. So we can only go off what we're seeing. No.
The character that she's playing on the show is a little bit cold. Thank you.
Yes, Sarah. Editing. The edit we're being given. God bless the editors. God bless all prayers.
We see what we see. We don't have the raw footage. Okay,
we don't have the raw footage. And I think that everything that she said, I think that she is insensitive to Sutton's feelings because Sutton is being ridiculous. Yes. And Sutton is spiraling out of control and honestly giving us some incredible TV in the process. I mean,
first I was annoyed. Now I'm grateful.
I'm so grateful. I can't stand Sutton Strack, but to see a woman of a certain age pour a handle of vodka into a cup and say, I pray to God every day.
Jesus, and he's throw me a bone.
What more do we want from a series than that? That's literally why I tune in.
So, and now look, I just am throwing the, you know, a couple of people and close friends have said, Casey, you're coming down pretty, you know, you're coming down on Crystal's side. Because look, I did think it was a bit weird the way Sutton was like, what are you doing in here? I'm sorry. I found that weird.
It's weird.
I would not use the word violated for it,
no,
personally.
But that's
and I do think that's a heavy word in these times, but it's what happened. And I think Crystal doesn't want to back down because she's dealing with someone unhinged, however.
Yes.
Sutton has just said her mom, there is mental illness in her family. Yes. And so for Crystal to then say that she's crazy is going to be very triggering. I want to give that some credence.
That was a step too far.
But here's where it doesn't have to be. But that's, we are dealing with housewives who don't take things with any sort of like, you know, it, just take it and let it go. They don't let anything go, even though Sutton keeps saying, I've let it go. But if she were smart, she would just say, oh my God, that's not what I meant to do. Obviously, I don't think I'm violating you, but you felt violated. I hear you. And let's move past this. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that again. And move on. But she is taking the word violated in such a, that it's just,
in such a personal
way. I think she was called essentially, you know, I think she's, I do think she's a bit of a Karen. And yeah. I think she's almost, now she's latching onto this word of being like, you're saying I'm this. Like, we're almost, I think we're in a defile. I don't know what's going on.
A very Karen response, though. Like, if she weren't a Karen, she would just be easy breezy. Yeah. She'd say, look, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry you felt violated. Because honestly, guess what?
Or I'm so sorry I brought up my own heritage when you were discussing. Like, but they don't have this framing. They don't have this.
There's no meta critic. There's no person outside themselves. There's meta-critic. To see what is happening on the ground.
I'm never inside myself. I'm always outside.
I'm always on the outside looking in. In this moment,
I'd love to get in here and see what's going on.
I've never seen inside myself. I only see what you see, and it's not great.
It's not great, and I don't love what you see. And that's the thing that Sutton is unable to do.
Is try to change yourself to so others like her, like we do.
Yes.
Which all the time, I'm always just trying to present myself as what other
Something
people want
you
me to
might
be.
Want.
What you need. What you need for me, I will be it.
But you're doing great with that, Chris.
Okay, that's huge. I mean, thank you. That actually does mean a lot.
But I don't know who you are, but I like who I'm seeing.
Who you're delivering.
Your character.
Yes, I love who you're delivering.
Right now, yes. And that's perfect, because that's who I am in this moment. That's actually, my Metacritic just breathed a sigh of relief. I will say, I do think, like, Crystal's entitled to use whatever word she wants to use. So to make it about the word violated, like, okay, that is a strong word. I wouldn't necessarily use it, but like, that's the word that she used. That's the word she's sticking to. And she is the one who wants to move on. Sutton keeps saying that she's the one who's prolonging the fight, but the person who started the fight is literally the prankster of them all, Kathy Hilton, by calling her Thomasina. Hi, Thomasina.
Hi, like, Thomasina.
Crystal would not have brought it up, but Kathy did. And then that set Sutton absolutely spiraling. And also, you know what got Sutton? She was left out of the present. She was left out of Garcelle's present.
Oh, I saw her. She just maniacally putting on lipstick over fucking an... that was, to me...
That worked. That's like acting school work.
And she does feel close to Garcelle.
I think they are actually tight because they came on the same year. I think they actually have...
But just maniacally putting on lipstick.
That's Stella Adler work. That's
thank you, my alma mater. Thank you, Chris.
We're such a fan. It's like, that is specific. That is character. That is specific character-driven activity.
Do you remember Mommy Dearest?
Yes.
In the mirror when she's like applying face? Like, that was, to me, that moment. I was like, this is an iconic moment.
Yeah, it was an iconic moment. But really, basically, you know that Crystal probably just like got Garcelle a present and then like was like, Kyle and Lisa, Venmo me $2,000 and throw your name on the card. And then Sutton, it gets literally like tailspins because she's not included in any of the presents. And those were the two inciting incidents. And then
you're right.
A top notch housewife scene.
Oh, we did.
And then a great ending line when Crystal was like, because nothing incenses someone who's spiraling more than the calm, collected, like, you're just jealous of
awesome. Yeah.
That's when she was like, she showed her housewife. That's when I was like, you can come back. You can come back next season because you were willing to go there. This had nothing to do with jealousy. This had nothing to do with.
But she's triggering Sutton so perfectly because then Sutton, the worst thing that was said was that you're jealous of me, but Sutton loses her shit and's like, I'm not jealous of your brown ugly pants.
We do have to talk about the pants. What do you think about the pants?
I like the pants, and I have a pair just like fake leather. Okay.
I think the outfit wasn't great personally, but I do think the pants are kind of cool in like a Gen Z, like downtown boho way. But that's
no one else could have pulled those off but a gorgeous, tall, striking supermodel woman like Crystal.
When I saw them in the background, I thought, ooh.
Okay, so you're now on Sutton's side. So you're fully Sutton's on Sutton's side.
I'm not aligned with Sutton. I want to report both sides of this story. I will say I had such disdain for Sutton like the first three episodes and the whole Tahoe thing. I was just like, oh, I hate this person. I will say, you know, the face roller, she's reeling me in pretty good.
She rolled her ways right into my heart in that one.
Right into my heart. And she deserves the diamond. She's got to stay. I was like, I was skeptical about her and her, you know, the Gucci Dolce of it all last season. But she is serving me housewife. She's giving me what I need. And she is sort of unapologetic about it because she doesn't know what she needs to apologize for. She's just so afraid. I think, and like, I'll say it, I think she's very afraid of coming off as like a peeping Tom or a racist, which I don't really think is, I think she's insensitive. I think she could
be a bit ignorant.
Ignorant, yes.
Privileged.
But I don't, she's incredibly, perhaps too privileged, I'll say. But I think you can see she's kind of worried about the edit she's going to get eventually. And that's causing her to continuously spiral.
You know, I do also think she's a generous person.
She loves to give gifts.
I don't think that's generosity. Okay, no. I think that's wanting to be liked.
But I think on the face, of course, it's that. But there's something underneath her. I will say I'm just starting to see a little bit more that she wants people to feel good.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's coming from a self-serving place, but I know her gifts feel performative, but there's something about her. Like, I do feel she deeply empathizes with Erica. Now, she does not know all of this. I'm just saying, I think she has a helping need in her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm giving her too much and I'll be turned on.
I think that's true. I think she does want to create an environment of giving. And I think generosity, I do agree with Danielle. I think she's made most of her relationships through gift giving. Gift giving is her love language. Perhaps
it's mine
her own
too. So maybe this is what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's totally fair, but
receiving gifts, not giving.
Of course.
I did like the gift that she gave to Erica when she gave her like all the supplies, like for, you know, like the single gal supply kit.
That's what I mean. Like, I thought that was thoughtful.
Yeah, she's thoughtful. She's a thoughtful woman.
Danielle disagrees. I'm wrong.
I can't. And again, this might be seeing myself in somebody. And so we hate in others what we see in ourselves. But the desperation that her gifts, there's so much. Like me in the gifts that they're hard to, I always feel like I find hard to receive gifts from someone who I know wants something from me. You know what I mean?
I
can smell it.
No, I do. I know what you mean.
I smell it. So I'm always like, this isn't free.
It almost feels like you then owe them.
Yes. This isn't free. This costs me something, even if it's time or friendship, like give it. But to expect something is tough.
It's a quid pro quo thing with her a little bit where she's giving, but then she expects something. Mm.
I think she wants you to stand up for her at dinner.
Mm-mm. Yes. Definitely does.
All right. You guys have convinced me. Now, what I'm loving is her dynamic with Kyle, because Kyle's just like, Sutton, like, you're fucking nuts. Like, Kyle's trying to bring her back down to earth and Sutton will not allow. She's like a helium balloon. She will not be pulled back down.
Sutton whispering, I can't get it together. Like, that was literally.
I've got allergies.
I got allergies. I can't get it together.
Like, I just got allergies. I can't get it together. Do it again. Do it again.
I can't get it together. Like, that was like, at the bar, like literally shaking. And Kyle, and like, and Kyle is, and I'm so happy. I think Kyle from last season to this season, full upswing. We're getting her back to where I feel I identify with Kyle. She's a jester. She shouldn't really be Queen Bee. We need an LVP, and she's not really trying to do that anymore.
No, and
she's,
we don't need her fucking dragged down by that anchor of Teddy.
God, I actually forgot she existed.
And she was in pain with Kim, and now we've got Kathy, and you can see the joy back in her life with Kat.
Can we talk about the Kathy Kim Kyle conversation, the Kathy Kyle conversation about Kim?
Yes.
That was dark, but I do think that I don't know, this might be controversial, I think we're paving a runway for Kim to come back on the show. Imagine all three sisters.
Okay, Chris. So I want to just briefly say that we had a live show 2 weeks ago, and I procured a 6-minute video from Kim to our listeners. And I'm not going to play it, genuinely out of respect. I already felt a little like, oh, should I have played this? In which I told people, like, it was the last thing we played. And I said, you can stay or go. Like, it's long, you know?
Here, yes, 1,000%.
People stayed.
I
had tears in my eyes, Danielle. I told you I was crying watching it. It was one of the darkest.
I was in a car on my way to your house.
Yes.
Does she still have it? I have to know. Does she have it?
I have it. I'll send it to you. It was one of the darkest ramblings. And I had asked, are you coming back? And she's like, what was she kept saying, Danielle? She's like, I'd love to. It was sort of felt like I wasn't asked. It felt like she was just rummaging around that house in the pandemic. We were grilling with her at one point. We're going out and grilling. We're seeing grilling. Dogs. We're wandering. We're talking. And I felt for her. I'm like, this woman is a tragic figure. And I do have a love for Kim.
Well, it's very Big Edie. It's very Big Edie, Little Edie vibes. It's very Great Gardens, which I know we ascribe to Sonia Morgan. But we have to say it pops up more.
Attention must be paid.
Attention must be paid. And so I think I want all the sisters to, the three sisters, check up, to come together. And I want them to go to Moscow. And I want them.
I wonder where is Moscow for them.
I know.
Is that the house that got...
It's Palm Springs house. It's Big Kathy. Yes.
It's Big Kathy's. It is I was going to say it's Palm Springs. I think it's... And the thing is, the sad thing is they're never going to get there.
No.
They're never going to get there. But you've still... I hope for them. I want the healing because I'm seeing healing. I'm seeing some healing with Lisa Rinner, who is an actor's actor who I do want off the show. And I will say that I'm done with the performance of it. I'm done with the Harry Hamlin. I'm done with the Bolognese.
I'm done with the blueberry pie. Done.
But I am seeing some healing. I do genuinely believe there is some healing between her and Garcelle. And I'm happy to see that. And like, I was like, oh my God, they actually have known each other for 20 years. And I'm like, that's literally crazy to me. But I sense healing there, and I want healing for the Richard sisters. There's nothing I want more.
Now, there's two things I'd like to talk about with the Richard sisters. One is I'll never forget my darkest moment with Kim Richards, which is
your personal
darkness. My darkest time.
An interaction between the two of you.
No, we just through the screen.
That's what I mean, but it was very real, yes.
But I was like, this is the darkest. Do you remember her making a big salad with her hands? Like just tossing the salad.
Oh my God,
with
no.
Her hands in her house. Do you remember that, Chris?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do
like,
remember
it was
that.
That was really a dark time. And then the brightest moment I've ever had with a sister.
Yeah, we have to have both.
Sister.
Let's have both.
Yes. And this is with
Please
Kathy.
Please bring us up from that.
Yeah, it was Kathy this week when she said, who is Honky Dory?
Kathy, yes.
Who is Hunky Dory?
Who is Hunky Dory?
She is honestly, she's such a breath of fresh callback. And the fact that she was like, yeah, you can film in my house and I won't show up until 11:50. I will literally not come to the first event.
I will not be there. We've never seen that.
We've never seen that. We've never seen, please use my palatial estate, but do not expect me to show up on time. I will not be on the call sheet.
And don't expect me to be dressed for a day.
No.
Absolutely not.
But also still expect me to steal a scene.
Another thing I do love about Kathy Hilton is that she honestly doesn't remember who Dorit is. She doesn't know who Dorit is. And Dorit is at never a better season. She is Dorita's minor supporting actress is literally the exact perfect place for her to be. Beverly Bridal, bring it on. I'm wearing it to my wedding. That's never gonna like
I liked that photo.
When she said, and I quote, I figured, you know, I was scared to do bridal, but then I figure I have designed a room at Buca di Beppo. I can design wedding dresses. I was like,
oh, not Buca di Bocce Ball. Like that monstrosity.
I was like,
guys, my two thoughts on the Richard sisters. Danielle penned a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous song that we sang in a live show once that we will do. We will revisit again, which was to the Schuyler sisters from Hamilton.
I'm familiar. Yes.
Yes. And it was gorgeous, Danielle, what
thank
you wrote.
You,
and so that provided healing for me. But I would love if three enterprising actors and fans out there would perform Three Sisters as the Richard sisters. Wow. I think there's something gorgeous there.
Any Juilliard?
Juilliard, Yale School of Drama, the Geffen School, Yale School of Drama. Mm-hmm.
I don't want this on Santa Monica Boulevard in a black box.
No, I want some thespians.
I need some production value. That's a This American Wife Pulitzer Prize finalist who just did The Housewife. Friends of mine,
we've
Michael Patrick.
We've got to get them on.
Get them on the pod. Sent us materials. I heard they are brilliant beyond measure.
Brilliant, funny. Absolutely incredible.
Tell everyone what that is, Chris.
Okay.
Let's do a plug.
You gotta watch my friends Patrick and Michael and their amazing play. They rented a house in Queens, basically, and put on basically a housewives extravaganza eleganza play that is actually deeply felt and really sort of funny and serious, where they took iconic lines and scenes and sort of recreated them and then put in their own lives and sort of unpacked and sort of broke down the fourth wall. You need it. You got
it.
I think there's clamor. I think if we sound the horn.
Am I giving my house? I mean, what can we do?
Oh my God. Please.
I want to just say, if you do it in LA, will you please invite me? I really want
to
see
this. We didn't get invited to Luann's show. Can we at least get invited to fucking this?
You know, I auditioned for Luann's show. I did. I was on Roni last year. I did stand-up comedy for Luann.
Stand-up, Chris.
The Lesseps. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I did it on Roni season 12 for Sonia.
A man of all seasons.
I know. It's a jack of all trades, master none. But I did have the pleasure of doing a tight five for Luann and Sonia at 12 p.m. noon in a bar.
Best time for comedy.
On a Thursday with no one else in the audience. And it was one of the best moments of my life. Sonia was with it. Sonia was quick. Sonia was...
Oh, yeah.
She was there that day.
Luann was operating on sort of like a 5-second time delay where like I would tell a joke and then it would take her like 4 seconds to process it. And then she'd just go, ha, 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 ha. And that was it. I was like, that was it. I was like, okay, it's great. Lovely, gorgeous, statuesque women, both
beautiful,
of them.
Beautiful.
Fantastic. But yeah, I was, and I made the final edit. I made the cut. And Luann said I was good.
I have to go back and watch.
Cut.
I gotta go
was
back.
Was Luann
and...
kind? Was she kind?
Oh,
or no?
so kind, but honestly on a cloud. Like she was not tethered to the earth in the way that sort of we are in terms of like the way the reality, like she was sort of just floating through, and she's so tall that like her sight line, like I felt like she was looking down on me.
Quite literally she was.
Whereas Sonia was like in the rough. She was like, let me get up there. Let me give him the old razzle dazzle. Like that was Sonia's energy. But Luann, there is an innate haughtiness with her that makes her who she is. Not to totally transition to Roni, but I had to.
No, well, listen, I needed all of that. I want to just touch down on two more things in Beverly Hills and take a little break and come back afresh and with, you know, with bright eyes and fresh eyes in the morning on Roni. But I have two questions for both of you. Where in the fuck is Dorit getting her money?
That's the next house of cards that's going to fall. She got lucky.
That's a huge question.
She got lucky that the first time the rumblings happened, that nothing really bad happened. But I do think that's that house of cards.
I think their house of cards, and I do believe it is a house of cards, but I think theirs is a little more like they're not stealing from orphans and children. Like theirs is like bankruptcy court crazy. Like theirs is in the system and it's like, is it legal? Their stuff, you know what I mean? Whereas, so I feel like it's going to get a pass, maybe not for them financially, but from the legal world.
I'm like, does Boy George check his bank account that often? Like, I feel like they're taking from other sort of wealthy, you know, there's a culture.
Investors
kind
of thing.
And I do think the British thing adds a different sheen on it that like, you know, maybe it's a little, you know, there's some British football friendship of it all. I think they're keeping it within their sort of elite circle more. Mm-hmm. So it won't be as like, I don't think, you know, Dorit is calling up old people and offering them computer packages and then taking their money like Jen Shah. And I don't think they're stealing from widows and children. Like,
right. But it's, you're right. It's within the family.
But it's in, but it's, it again, it's.
It's not right. It's all is not right in the state of Denmark.
But like, is that Kelly bag borrowed to buy Hermes at that rate?
Wow.
Honestly, I'm going to Beverly Hills today for a doctor's appointment. And I know this sounds so insane. I want to just wander through Hermes and just kind of like feel the energy of Dorit.
And look at the price tags and just like.
Yes. And just like see what I'm seeing with the dishes. And I mean, each dish has got to be like $500.
Yeah. I mean, they've literally settled out of court with people who have sued them for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. They've done the litigious thing. Like there is. Like, all is not right in the state of Denmark. Like, there, it smells of something.
Right? Yeah, something's up.
And we do something's need, maybe rotten. This is my next beat. Maybe it's to get to the bottom of Dorit.
I mean, I really do want the best for them, and I don't want to see her without these clothes. So in a way, I'm like...
But it doesn't smell right. It doesn't pass the smell test. It no, does it not yeah. pass.
And I do think that we've found her exact sweet spot this season, yes. of, like, sometimes stirring the pot, but honestly... Giving me featured actress, giving me under
giving
five.
Giving me Gucci flight attendant vibes, yes. like 70s mini dresses and scarves.
Absolutely.
You're right. And she's keeping pretty mom in the testimonials about mm-hmm. Erica. She's not throwing too many stones because mm-hmm. I think she knows she's got a glass house. Mm-hmm. And I will say, why the fuck with Love to Bravo? Aren't we interspersing in testimonials from the gals about what's happening now? Is that just we're too early for that?
We're too early. It's about to happen. I think next week episode, when we see Erica. Yeah.
Because okay. that's when Erica like breaks down, I think, which it's again, she's putting the work in.
I think we're going to get two lines of tears.
Yes. And then it's stone
and I
cold.
Think she's going to say, I had no idea. But I have a question for you guys before we move off this. And it's not necessarily a question, but more of an answer, which is...
sort of a question, okay. but it's actually a comment.
It's a comment. I phrased it as a question, but it's really, I wanted to get this out
You're
there.
You're like, I don't want to hear from you too
I have no desire to hear any of your thoughts.
Great, but, then we'll go to break.
Yeah, which is, I've never seen a shit-eating grin like Lisa Rinna talking about Scott Disick.
I'm
clapping into the mic.
Standing ovation. I took a note. There is
standing out.
There is nothing Lisa Rinna loves more than her proximity to the Kardashians by way of Scott Disick. There is absolutely nothing.
And I think
nothing.
For her, she's doing pretty good, but she cannot.
She cannot hold. She
is so excited. It's so. I will say Lisa did also another Lisa thing. This, like, her pretending to like Erica's Little House was actually a good performance from her. Like her being like,
wonderful.
Yeah, like this is, yeah, this closet.
Cozy sheets.
Cozy.
This bathroom.
Cozy.
The wallpaper. That was good
Meanwhile,
acting.
That's like a $2 million house, P.S. in L.A.
Now, where was that little sitting area outside? I found that very cute. Was that like the complex's common area?
That's... it can't be her.
I'm genuinely wondering.
The real estate.
That felt big.
I think that's just hers. I think it's
I
a
think
house.
It's just hers. I mean, $9,500 a month. I mean, that's not a...
That's
a lot.
So much money.
That is a lot
that's
of
a
money.
Lot.
So
that's a lot.
She's still doing fine. But I... Yes. But back to Lisa and the Amelia. And again, I celebrate Amelia and, you know, dating older men. I have an older boyfriend. I'm like, yes, go for it, queen. Absolutely. But okay. Lisa loves that it is Scott Disick, former beau of Kourtney Kardashian, of the Kardashians.
She said, I don't ask too many questions.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Because
what?
You
Because you love it.
This.
Because you love it. It's better for your brand. It's better. It's that's it's oh, it's so she's so insidious. And I
yeah.
She does that shit eating grin is so accurate.
It's so accurate, Danielle. And speaking of your boyfriend, Chris, I took
He's
a screen grab
old.
Of this because this made me die laughing. This is your pinned tweet. Really, baby laugh. You said, sobbing and screaming at my public defender boyfriend because he hasn't used his fancy law degree to free Britney yet.
And you know what? And that was true. And that's actually true. What's the point of going to law school if you're not going to free? I mean, you did all that. You free people every day. Britney needs your
what
help.
What the fuck?
Britney needs your help.
Where are you?
Where are you? I'm sitting here. I see you working. Britney's still in her conservatorship.
But on what? Working on what?
On what? Okay. Like, Get your priorities.
We all know I have a connection to Brittany, having worked with Sam Asghari, you know, but and someone actually sent me, he just posed for Nobleman magazine. So that's a real nice cross for all of us to enjoy. Looking gorgeous.
We love a magazine.
But I also have another connection, and I'm not afraid to say it, you know, to this case, which is that, you know, former Happy Endings writer, beloved writer, Prentice Penny, his mother is the judge in this case.
Oh my God, Prentice Penny of HBO now too, of Insecure.
Of Insecure showrunner.
Showrunner, the judge. And I know, again,
most fashionable man and friend, and that feels nice.
That feels nice. I mean, and we're making progress. Lynn.
I hope we're in Miss Penny's loving arms.
Absolutely. I have
Mama Penny.
I have faith. I think we're moving in the right direction. We're making progress. Lynn said, let's get her a new lawyer. Let's get her. We're getting her out. It's the law is weird. The law is bad, but I have faith.
Okay. On that positive note, should we take a break?
Yeah. We're back.
Now, before we get to New York, we did want to pay tribute. Now, we spoke a little of T'Challa at the beginning of the episode, but Chris, we wanted to get your feelings. And I also just wanted to read some theories from listeners that they sent me on DM.
Absolutely. A requiem for T'Challa. We need to pay.
Any thoughts on the mysterious circumstances of his demise?
I mean, I sort of came up with two theories because I do suspect foul play. And if it's foul play, then you know who it is. It's Dr. Wendy's revenge.
Wow.
For what he
did.
Dr. Wendy's revenge. She's ruthless. I don't put it past her. I think, you know, T'Challa gave us an iconic moment with her last season. I think she. Iconic moment. And I think she wants her revenge. Or T'Challa was like, I'm literally a star. And now he's like, playing Iago in a touring company of Aladdin somewhere. He was like, bye, Monique. I'm gonna be a star. I'm booking work. I'm flying west.
We know he tried to escape once. We know he got out.
He wanted out. I mean, the way that she said, like, my shoulder feels lighter, like that, that really hit different for me.
Now, there was some listener theories, and I just wanted to read a few that were sent to me just because they were so amazing. So this is from, and I'll try and get everyone's names right. And if you sent this to me privately, not wanting it out there, sorry, but but you did send a, someone just wrote, Kelly McCabe Geis wrote, get MKE on the case. You know, from OC, who cracked the Brooks code. Brooks cancer code.
Oh God, we need them.
Okay, someone, Karen Doke said, exactly, I need more info on this accident and whether or not involves her essential oils.
We know she's not, she does love those oils. She's not about vaccinations.
Robin Hardcastle said, ceiling fan, which I thought was a dark thought. Ingrid Hoag says, raises so many questions. Was it Candace with a butter knife? These are all good thoughts. Someone said, Rebecca D said, birds live longer than people. I smell an inside job.
A lot of people do think that she's faking the death.
Yeah. Did you see she posted an Instagram today that was like
for attention
and like as like a memory of T'Challa? And I will I don't know. She did love. I felt that she was so connected to that bird, though. I would be shocked if she did something.
Someone said her husband murdered the bird.
not big Chris.
Jessica wrote, is it bad that I think she killed him? And then Alexa Brasher said, RIP, who would have thought poor Coco would outlive another Bravo pet?
Coco has seen too much. Has been here too long.
So, this is the darkest one. Because it happened over the July 4th, someone said, I would wager fireworks.
Oh, no. I could.
Interesting. A sparkler.
A rogue sparkler, I think, in the
anyway,
air.
Anyway, those are some theories.
Or Big Chris trying to, you know, do something in the yard, kind of unsanctioned.
At a cookout at the barbecue accident. I mean,
the theories.
That's very good.
That's so, and the timing does line up. Wow.
Freak accident, guys.
I mean, I was like, maybe he got caught in a door because she used to put that bird in a car and drive it places. Birds don't belong in cars.
Did he drown in the toilet?
God, trying to relieve himself.
In the heat, left in a car.
I send love and light to Monique at this time because I do.
I do too.
I do. I feel she needs that energy. And I'm.
Yes. One listener said she wanted to ask her boss if she could take a personal day. I mean, it's hard. We're all dealing with this.
We all process in a different way.
Someone in my DMs was like, do you think we could get a pet psychic on for Spongy and for T'Challa?
Honestly, we should get a pet psychic and see just...
Are they connected in the after? No.
Connect to... Yeah, that's right. And just see what happened.
Yeah, I think... Anyway. I'd like to think they are connected.
I would too. Wow. Guys, should we get into New York? We're in a tough spot.
Thoughts about the... What are you thinking?
I sort of think of it as this. Right now, Roni feels like Facebook.com. That's the vibe that we're getting. Beverly Hills feels like Instagram. Roni feels like Facebook. And I'm hoping Potomac comes back and it gives us...
Potomac feels like TikTok.
Yes, like TikTok. The best of TikTok. That's what I'm hoping. But we're sort of waiting in. And I don't think... I think we're in a tough, we're in our flop era. It's a tough spot. We know there are too few women. Like five is not enough.
Yes, five is not enough. Not enough.
It's not enough.
We've got Brashan.
Brashan. Brashan is bringing me some energy. I like Brashan. I could see more of Brashan.
I mean, I take Brashan over Heather any day of the week, but I worry that people are blaming Ebony and it's not Ebony's fault. It's not her fault.
I agree.
There are so many factors and you have to think about, okay, what were we all doing in November? This is literally November of this past year. We were all insane. It's like the most important election of our lives, like mid COVID, like everyone is freaking out about this. I understand. And I interviewed Ebony for Vanity Fair. She was lovely. We really got along.
I love her.
Very smart, very sharp, very exactly what she presents on television. But I do feel that she feels this pressure, especially with the Fox News background, which a lot of us, people of color, melanated folks.
And her mother having voted for Trump.
Yeah, we came in skeptical. We were like, So I think she felt a lot of internal and external pressure to really
make... And as our first African-American housewife in New York, she's gonna come in with a fuck ton of pressure.
And I feel like it was
before pre-Brashan.
Pre-Brashan was just like, I don't
Brashan's
care.
Brashan's entrance to Salem witch trials. And her looking up a vibrator with Lou.
Absolutely.
Brashan bringing a bit of a different energy.
Energy, which we need. We need that energy. But I feel that Ebony has done enough. We're seeing some fun buddy comedy stuff with Ebony and Sonia that I'm interested in unpacking.
Too.
And I feel like, and again, not to be like, these women tend to get mad at the wrong person. Just like with Kathy, starting the fight with Beverly Hills. This week, Sonia was the one who was like, and Ebony's all like social justice, Black Lives Matter. Like Ebony wasn't even bringing that up in Salem. But Sonia did that. And then we got back into it. And it's just like, if there were at least 2 to 4 more storylines that were going right now, then I'd be like, yes, let's touch down. Yes, let's have this conversation. It's important.
It's so hard because for Ebony, it's like for that space and time, even if they were filming now, she should not have to feel the responsibility. And yet she's been kind of like given this responsibility that is kind of unfair to have been laid at her feet. She feels the responsibility. She takes it very seriously, which is so admirable. But these motherfucking women, for them to hear... And I'll admit, a couple of years ago when I heard the phrase like modern day white supremacy to be ascribed to like a liberal, I was like, what?
Yeah.
So I think for these women to hear that, this is not me defending them. I'm just saying, like, I think it's hard because Ebony is so fun. She is so cool. But I see from her perspective, she's like, how do I move forward in a friendship with Ramona when Ramona's saying things like, well, your life is fine.
Yeah.
You're successful. I would like your life. Like, it's so fucking ignorant.
Let me teach you how to cook. It's so ignorant. And it's one
so
of those
disgusting.
Things. I mean, I've proudly hated Ramona since day one. So like, thank you.
Wow. Congratulations.
Exactly. I identify as a Sonia Sun, Bethany Moon, Tinsley Rising. So that's what my...
Oh my God.
That's my New York star.
Sorry for your loss with Scott.
I know. We're working through it. But so it's one of those things too, where we keep dancing around issues because we can't just say Ramona's a Trump supporter. If we could just say that, then we could just move on and whatnot.
Why can't she say that?
I don't know. Because it's like, we all know. I know, you know, she knows.
We know it. She was literally like at Mar-a-Lago. Like, she.
But I'm like, it's not a punishable crime as a housewife to be that.
No.
Many are saying,
like, I, on some level, she knows how abhorrent it is because she's not copping to it.
Because she's not copping to it. And this little dance that we're doing,
which is the best. She knows how bad it is. And she knows her fucking fans ain't going down that road with her. Like, at least be honest about it.
But what I do think Ebony is doing that's good, you know, for the show and good for white women is that, and not that this is her job, and I hate that this is her job, she's never going to change Ramona's point of view. That's never going to happen. Ramona is Ramona till she dies.
She could change it by 2%.
Even if she changed it by 2%, she would talk to someone else and it would go the other way. I think Ramona is... Like, even if she...
Mar-a-Lago'd out.
Yeah,
she's
like,
Mar-a-Lago-tailed.
She's cute. Ramona's QAnon.
She's cute. She's cute. Yeah. That's why she looks so young.
Yes!
She can change it for a minute, and then she'll talk to a Trump person 2 seconds later and go the other way. I think she's lost. But I do think for the viewers who are not lost and who are liberal, a lot of them, and who don't realize that there is more to white supremacy than just who you voted for, including myself. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I include myself in all of this, which is like, she is making people aware of things in a way that they hadn't maybe been before.
To quote our friend Akilah Green, who texted us this last night, she said, "I want Ebony to make not being racist look like fun."
Yes. It looks like medicine right now.
But this is the thing. I'm not putting Ebony down for this. I'm just saying what's happening is the reaction that it's having. And that is part of the problem is the reaction these women are having. And so she can't help. It's like she's like caught in a fucking spin cycle because she can't help but try to like educate them. But then they're like, it's just, it's very like hard to watch. And I don't know what the answer is.
It is. It feels like medicine, and it like we've had like 12 seasons of just like sugar, dessert, not having to deal with any of these actual systemic issues. And now we are. And I do think we need to take our medicine.
But we have dealt with addiction. We have dealt with hard issues. So then part of me is like, but why is this one like we're all having, you know?
Because I think we...
The women meaning, not we.
Well, yeah. The women take this as something wrong with them, whereas addiction is just... And they have, you know... They dealt with addiction, but this is like, addiction outside of themselves. It's not a personality. It's not a fault with who they are. It's that they're addicted to this other thing.
And there's nothing Trump supporters are more sensitive to.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not racist. It's like, but we live in a society where we have laws that support racist things. White supremacy is just embedded in our society.
And you're supporting someone who is racist.
Therefore, transit property, honey.
Is Lou a Trump supporter?
I don't think Lou is clued in enough to have an opinion. Like the way that she was talking, being like, we tolerated you, Ebony. I was like, ooh, we don't use that word anymore.
We don't use that word. Made me think she might be a closeted Trump supporter and her little defensiveness is coming out. Or was that just her being defensive, reacting to the words white supremacist?
I think that was her. I lean on it. That was her being defensive to the word white supremacist and her being a little bit dim and a little bit of the time delay. I don't think she's as... I think that's why she was so triggered when Ebony said, like, I'm smarter than you, because it's
that
like...
That was crazy.
I don't think Lou is the brightest bulb in the shed.
No.
And I think she feels this, like, the teaching energy. I feel like she's very self-conscious about that and insecure about that. And so she's catching up. I don't know if she's as politically engaged as even Ramona or even Sonia.
Yeah, because I believe Lou's daughter is probably super liberal and probably
totally.
In her fucking ear, but it's like Lou's about Lou. Lou is like, make Lou great again.
Yes. That is the theme of her cabaret show, make Lou great again.
It's all about Lou.
It's all about Lou. And there's anything else, it really takes a lot of work to penetrate the surface of Lou.
Oh.
And I feel like we're just now like cracking a wall, and it might take a long, long time. So I honestly, like, Lou's reaction to this is less like gross to me and more just like, just like a sigh, like a heavy sigh. Like she'll give her a year or two and she'll probably catch up to where we're at. Right.
And then we've got Leah over here, who to me, I'm not saying this is funny because I really love Leah, but
me
you know,
too.
She's sober. But I think what she's trying to replace alcoholism with is like spirituality. Like she's like, we're going to do seances. We're going to do out of body experiences that don't involve drugs, which I think is a smart move in a way. Cause she's like, I'm still trying to drum up experiences for us that can cause heightened emotions, but I'm not going to rely on drink.
Yes. Even though we need that from the girls. We need that from the girls.
It is our lubricant on Roni.
It's our lubricant.
Unfortunately, a tattoo's not going to do it.
Oh no. And yeah. I met Leah recently. She's really cool and very, still a real person. I went to Watch What Happens Live. She was like really great, but she is very much like what you see is what you get and is on the spiritual journey. And that feels very authentic what she's doing. And I do think I think she's had a little bit of a rough season with grandma, which is so sad. And I think, you know, that got sort of spread out over three episodes when that was like one weekend. And it wasn't
that
a great
should have
look.
Been one and a half episodes.
Should have been one and a half episodes.
Yeah,
but
her season has been like grandma.
It's been grandma. And we need to move again. We need to, I mean, I feel like we're traveling somewhere. Like, I feel like every scene was on a bus last episode. I was like, can we get off a bus?
They're all just on buses in Dallas. They're on buses. There's nowhere else they can be but on buses.
But on buses. I'm like, can we get somewhere?
Yeah. That dirty ass bus that everyone was like, ooh. I was like, this looks like a hell.
Absolutely not for me.
Black sheets. I was like, whoa. And that brown curtains.
I've been on many long distance bus trips and there's never glamour to one of them.
And Leah was like, I know how to do it, ladies.
Roadies. Yeah. I will say I want to give an Emmy to Claire, the woman at the hotel with the Boston accent who welcomed them.
Oh, I loved her.
With the accent. She was doing, that's the type of performance I need more of.
I need more of those type of masks.
Those masks, maybe that was what I was so upset about. It was the bus and the mask. It was the combination. I felt claustrophobic.
They looked like buffet. It was like a sneeze guard. I hate it.
Yeah, it's like, I honestly rather we have a bigger threat of COVID with them have the masks off than have to see those strings.
Absolutely. You got to risk something, all right? It's like, come on, put yourselves on the line.
By the way, speaking of, didn't Kyle get COVID? Are we going to see that storyline?
I think Kyle and Dorit got COVID. I think that has to be coming. I think like multiple of them got COVID. I think Kyle Dorit, if I'm not mistaken, got COVID. Okay, and okay. I do want to see that.
And I hate to say I'm looking forward to that.
The New York ladies got COVID too. Ramona got COVID last year, but didn't they?
God, well, she lied about it because she was like, I'm giving my blood to charity. And then Leah was like, no, you're
so
not.
Despicable me. It did make me laugh when Ebony said to her, you're making yourself look other than you are. Yeah. Which it was actually quite charitable and generous. I was like, I think she's making herself look exactly as she is.
Exactly. But she's so much more charitable with Ramona and these women than she needs to be because she's the only one. I went to prep school. I've been the only black kid around white people all the time. You sort of have to give them an inch and they'll take a mile and whatnot. And Ebony is giving the inches.
She's giving.
And Ramona never hears that she's always giving her something generous before she like takes opportunities to like help Ramona. And Ramona is like, you're right. She's not even appreciating any of that.
Not for one second. And it just feels like it's like we're not like we need some younger energy. Like I just want Tinsley to come back. I think she needs to come back.
This is an interesting viewpoint.
We need
guys,
that energy.
I want Bethany back.
Well, that's like shoot for the moon and you land on the stars. That's you know, like wouldn't we all? Because we need someone to take on Ebony by herself as a freshman is not enough to take on Ramona. And so it's just like, it's an unfair fight.
Yeah.
And we're tired of this fight. I need something else. We need more numbers.
We need numbers.
Strength in numbers. You're saying strength in numbers.
For sure. That's the problem with this season. It's not Ebony. It's that we need more storylines. This is a great storyline. We just need others with it.
And I'm not talking about youth. I'm even happy for another grand dame to come in who's got more money than all of them. Like a Kathy, like someone to give Ramona a run for her money. I love when Ramona's on her heels like someone else has more than me.
Exactly. And that was what Bethany brought to the table, which was really.
And the Countess used to bring as well for Ramona.
Exactly.
And that's why Beverly Hills is so great this season, because not only do we have the Erica storyline, which will be everything, but we also have the Sutton and the Crystal. We also have Kathy Hilton. We have all these things.
We've got so much going on.
We have a ton of cast and we just don't have enough cast in New York.
I never thought of it
like that. This is brilliant. This is the answer.
We're fixing. Somebody should be taking notes because we actually are sort of fixing. We're fixing this thing that needs an adjustment.
It just needs an adjustment. like we all do, like a chiropractic,
exactly,
you know, just a moment,
little, just a little thing.
And they always have such great instincts. So I'm sure, you know, someone's come in. I don't know that Bershawn is our answer, although I appreciate her energy. But I also know something that she's done to a friend of mine that I don't love. So and I'm gonna leave that over here. But I will say, like, did you see Lou's face trying to empathize when Bershawn was saying that she had cancer? Lou's like,
and she was trying.
Couldn't have given a fuck.
It could, again, it did not get through the bridge. It did not get over the bridge into Lou's brain, because that didn't happen to Lou. It happened to Bershawn.
What is that bridge? What do you think?
It's a moat. It's like a moat. It's like anything that isn't directly associated with Lou.
So it's narcissism.
Sinks in a moat. It's narcissism.
She's like Jenna from 30 Rock.
She really is.
Shout out to Jane Krakowski, who is my favorite actress on planet Earth. And I just don't feel... Well, I feel she gets her due. She's just truly the best actress in every single thing she's ever in. And I'm obsessed with her. And I've always just wanted to say that out loud. Like, she's my favorite actress.
Let's give her flowers.
Give it to her. She's doing it all.
Unbelievable.
I have a question, guys. And I don't mean this with any judgment, because if... I want what she's having, if this is the case. And I'm sorry to go back. But is Kathy on pills?
Maybe
answer this for yourself wherever you are.
Do we think all of those pills in that big ass box of hers were all vitamins?
I need my nutrients.
Like, I'm sorry. I haven't seen, like, my grandma has a pill box like that, and she has far less pills. I'm just making observations. There's no judgment.
A Richards. And that stuff, they're born to this weird, like, they're Richards. So there is a weird...
Seems like Kyle's addicted to Christmas.
Yeah.
So am I. When I saw their trees, I rewound it. I rewound Dorit's trees, Kyle's trees. And when Kathy was like, how's Christmas coming along? Are you all set up? Like, and I'm like, oh my God. It's like when you realize how the other half lives, where, and I know I'm like very fortunate and I'm living in so, so fortunate. But I will say, like, I was like, fuck. Other people are having people set up their goddamn trees for them. Like, and I've been doing this shit all by myself. Like, I can't believe people are having the money to set up multiple trees. And she's like, look at my village, Kyle. It was so, it's like, that's the wish fulfillment I want more of, is just like all the Christmas trees.
All the Christmas
trees. Well, and we get wish fulfillment in New York, but everyone's downsized a little bit. So that's, we're not getting that side, because,
and
you know,
now they're selling the houses they downsized to, like that Hudson Valley thing, Lubai.
So we're not going into any, like, I mean, Ebony has a gorgeous apartment, but even she's selling her. So, like, I don't know. We're not getting much. And I that is a part of the show for me, I'm not going to lie, which is, like, I get to go into your gorgeous, beautiful houses and see your Christmases. And I'm not getting that in New York right
now. We're missing that a little bit. They're a little bit.
And I just want to ask one quick question about the dating coach. Has she found Ebony anyone?
I know. Okay, one, I'm shocked that they made them go to Philly.
I was like, we have to go to Philadelphia to date. You're in New York fucking city.
Get a Zoom.
Let's get her. Like,
Sonia's an older woman, and then we're shipping her off to Salem. Not the very next morning. She goes, I'm so tired. She got on the bus.
That's what I mean.
Give her a night's rest.
You're in New York City. The city with everything.
Yeah.
Why are we going to Philly?
I told you what I say about Philly. Has the lowest vibrations of any city you'll ever go to energetically.
I'd rather go to Easttown. Get into Mary Easttown, not Philly.
Oh, like, I'll spend a day in and day out with Mare and the crew.
I'll do absolutely.
Oh, I miss Mare.
Get me home. I
miss Mare every day.
Kevin Bacon's daughter and the crew.
I don't know if the matchmaker will be fruitful for any of them, though I appreciated her presence. I was like, you know,
and she was gorgeous.
So pretty. I was like, get her on New York.
Yeah, although get her on Philly, I guess, so you know.
The Real Housewives of Philly.
No, thank you.
Oh God.
Is there anything else, guys, that need be said?
Potomac is coming. Potomac is coming. I feel like it's got to be said. Potomac is, it's coming back. The trailer looks great. We got Giselle drama. We got personal drama, but we also have inter communal drama, it looks beautiful. Like. And that's what I want to see. That's what I love to see. So
you know,
I think
your calendars. It's Sunday night. It's and Sunday I have it on night. My calendar. It's the Potomac premiere. It feels so good to just like orient myself to know what I've got coming. I'm going to get Shake Shack and settle in.
They got me through the worst of the pandemic. I feel like for me personally, my worst
and Salt Lake for me.
And, oh, Salt Lake as well.
Salt Lake.
I want to say one more great Lou line because I was just looking through my notes and this was beautiful. This speech, she said, "We're going to a haunted house, so I need a good chapeau."
The hat's on the bed. Just like, that's bad luck.
That's bad luck. That's bad
you
luck.
You didn't know that? You didn't know that?
It's so good. It's all so good.
It is. There's still good there. There's still so much to love. There's
exactly.
So much
it's
to
like
love.
We're you know, we're being critical, but it's like that's our jobs, you know. And by job, I mean not really. You know, we've chosen to all do this.
We're not being critical. We're saying what we need more of, not what we need less of.
No,
what
we want
more of, and that's people.
Constructive criticism. Absolutely.
Right. It's positive. It's like, yes, and.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yes. Improv. Okay, wait, I will say, I met Sonia at Watch What Happens Live. This might be embargoed, but I don't care. She is going on tour, speaking of improv, with IO, with Improv Olympics, and she invited me to audition for her Improv Olympics team. So look out for that coming up in the future. I swear to God.
Yeah. Danielle and I's mouths are, I'm sorry.
Agape. They're literally
Agape Church in the Valley. Wait, what?
Sonia is going on tour with IO, Improv Olympics, at some point in the future. And she's like, you should audition. And I was like, I'll make a note of that.
Is this, let me ask you, I want to know, is this like when Luann was going to be in Chicago? Is this real?
I don't, well, the thing from meeting Sonia, she's a little bit of a Looney Tune.
Danielle, it doesn't seem like Broadway. It feels like something attainable.
I know.
And I think improv is going to finally be Sonia's medium because she can't remember lines.
We learned that when she was off Broadway.
Cabaret-less.
Yeah.
I really want to see that cabaret-less again, just for myself.
I don't think she could recreate it. She would never be able to do it.
It was like the He Dogs and the She Dogs, Kim Cattrall's famous scatting video. Yes. Like, it's up there with the greats.
That's
the
He Dogs
and the She Dogs.
The He Dogs and the She Dogs.
Okay, before we wrap with you, Chris, I want to just very quickly say a thank you to Z-Way, who we had mentioned, for doing something. Danielle, I don't even think I told you about
what
this.
What is this?
So I had a medical procedure last week. I'm completely out of it and totally fine, but something had to be done very last minute. I'm totally out of it. And I get a text from Z-Way. So I had kind of seen that Drew Barrymore, an idol of mine, had very generously and gorgeously made a video where she was like crying having finished my book.
I cried watching.
So did I. And when I say this, like this, out of just the complete pure generosity of her heart, she does this. So I had seen it. The next day comes and I get a frantic text from Z-Way. It says, please call me. But I'm like, I'm kind of like dealing with some stuff. And then the phone rings an hour later because I've not really responded yet. It's Z-Way. And she's like, I need to talk to you. She's like, I don't know what's happening with you right now. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I'm in a cabin basically like writing my book. I'm not supposed to be basically like even really doing anything but tending to my own book. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and yet here I see you say you want to up your social media game. And yet here I see you have not reposted Drew Barrymore's video on either story nor feed. She goes, I'm walking you through it. She's like, okay, now I've sent you the app. She's like, download. And then I go, okay, I'll figure it out. And she goes, Casey, I will not be getting off the phone until it is up.
That's a true friend. That is a true friend. That's my friend.
She goes, I saw you like reposted someone's and we can't even see the video and it's not linking to it. She's like, what are you doing?
She is such a good friend and such a fucking talent. Can I just say?
I know. And to take the time.
That's really sweet. And we threw a Halloween party in 2019 together. And she is, if she wants something, she's going to make it happen.
Oh,
and she wanted that for you and she made it happen for you.
What a good
and that's,
friend.
What an absolute.
So she's like, this is big. She's like, take it in and repost it as like a form of gratitude and just to share it. And it was like, I was very appreciative. So that's just the thanks to go out to Z-Way.
And I have to say that I recently finished her audiobook and it was absolutely amazing. Hilarious, poignant, cried at the end, sent it to my sister. She cried. It's just, we're such big.
Chris.
Such big fans. It was
so
really,
nice.
It was really amazing. So
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, this has been an absolute. Everyone, listen and buy and read.
God bless you, Chris.
Can we plug some of your things?
Yes. What's coming up for you other than your star churn on
House? Oh my God! I'll let you know if there's a sort of a sequel to that.
Yes, please.
Sort of me and Danielle Staub go on the road together.
Yes, that
IO.
With ILMs, yes, sort of. Yeah, we're on that beat. No, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chrisdress, which is like mistress but with a Chris, or distress but with a Chris. And then I write for Vanity Fair, so you can
catch.
So yeah, so I do that. I do stand up all over New York and mostly Brooklyn, but also downtown Manhattan as well. Not normally at noon on a Thursday for Sonia and Luann, but sometimes. So yeah, I think that's where you can find me. And I gotta say, as someone who listens to the pod every single week, whose last event before the pandemic was Bitch Dash Live when Andy Cohen was present. With my cousin and my sister in tow.
What a gift. The universe gifted you with.
Gift. This has been an absolute dream come true.
Aww.
I can't.
You are honestly, I want to say, like, one of the greatest guests we've ever had. I feel it. You know your stuff. You're not afraid to come out with some bold opinions that you got me on your side with all of them. You're a delight.
You got it.
And you know what? Very good looking. And I know that I... You know, that's important.
And that's the most important. That's the most important thing of all. Actually.
And it's hard because Danielle's also very attracted to PK.
Yes. I went through a bit of a spot. But
you've got this gorgeous gold chain. You're looking just gorgeous.
Very good that's looking. So and I know you're taken. You well. You're taken. You with know. A lawyer.
Well, if he doesn't free Britney soon, that might not be true.
That's right. We don't know. These days might be numbered.
That could change.
Thank you so much to Chris Murphy. Danielle, before we end, I just want to give one shout out. Someone wrote us a letter, if I may. And this is from Hillary O'Byrne. And she asked if we could give a shout out to her best friend, Krista, who's been listening since the very beginning. She had something occur in her life. And we just wanted to say, we're thinking of you. Hang in there. There are brighter days ahead. And we're sending love to you.
There sure are, Krista. And I hope we can give you some laughs during any hard times. And we're thinking of you. Love you.
I hope we can give all of you some laughs.
No, I don't want to give anyone a laugh besides Krista.
I want to give people thinking.
I want to get people.
I think we've given a lot of food for thought today.
I want to get people pooping the floor. Just like a fucking Ramona Singer. That's how hard I want you to laugh. I want you to shit the floor.
And Luann.
And Lou. All the greats.
All the greats. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you, Casey.
That's the first time you've ever thanked me.
Wow, that's history was made.
That's there. History.
That came from the heart. I wasn't even thinking.
You just, you couldn't stop yourself.
I just couldn't stop myself.
This was a great app.
It was a vulnerable moment because I felt really good about this conversation we all had.
Wow. Yeah, we went to a lot of places.
Thank you, Chris, for letting me get to be the person that you guys needed me to be today because I'm never truly myself.
You know, that Metacritic, you gotta.
That Metacritic. And today's episode, of course, is being dedicated to T'Challa.
To T'Challa.
Yes, absolutely.
R.I.P.
Okay, everyone.
Fly to the heavens, sweet bird.
Fly, baby, fly.
Amazing grace.
The new, redesigned 2021 Chrysler Pacifica has a refreshed interior and exterior, much like many of our housewives, more cargo capacity than full-size SUVs and crossovers, wireless Apple CarPlay and phone charging, and the most standard safety features of any vehicle, like forward collision warning, lane departure warning, and blind spot monitoring. It is now available with all-wheel drive capability, and it is the most advanced all-wheel drive system in its class. The 2021 Chrysler Pacifica is America's only plug-in hybrid that allows for 32 electric miles, which is 520 miles total driving, and also qualifies for a $7,500 federal tax credit. That's a lot. The new Pinnacle model interior includes quilted leather seats and second row pillows. Chrysler is offering our Bitch Sesh listeners an exclusive $1,000 bonus cash offer towards a new Chrysler Pacifica or Pacifica hybrid. Visit Pacifica Sesh. PacificaSesh.com and sign up to receive this offer. Updates and more from the Chrysler brand.